Welcome to DL Gaming. I had to think of which podcast we were doing for a second there.
Because we have so many podcasts. They're coming out of our ears. Chris?
What's up?
Chris is in character today, I guess. And I am reeling from both of you guys fucking up. So welcome to the show, everybody. We're going to talk about some video games. But first, let's talk about this weekend coming up. Nick is going to be here live in studio. I think we're going to record three episodes. It's going to be Movies on the DL, DL Gaming, and then our super secret NSFW answer your craziest, sexiest questions. And yeah, you only get access to that if you're a patron. Bobby was feeling generous. He said all patrons, at least $5 and up.
We'll see.
He wants to see how it goes first, because we've had some train wrecks when we plan to get drunk. It's rough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. Next weekend's going to be a nightmare for me. Oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to get through it, but we'll see.
Because of the three...
Well, I mean, just because of that, but on top of that, I've also got two performances I'm going to be filming that weekend, and next week is my first week back with the students on campus. So this last week, first week back on campus with the teachers, that was just absolutely crazy. Every day, just like 7 to 4 o'clock, no lunch break, working constantly, just putting out fires. And yeah, I can't wait till the kids come. It's going to be even crazier.
what productions are you filming? Anything high stakes? Anything Hollywood?
No. This is for a dance studio, a local dance studio here. They do performances a couple times a year. I usually film them. They're finally doing them again since things are opening up, but there's going to be no audience, which is actually going to be a great filming environment because I can place my cameras wherever I need to. I don't have to worry about kids bumping seats and shaking the camera. It's going to be actually really good.
Nice. You know, next, when there are audiences, you should probably reserve like an area, like 6 seats to yourself.
So I do, and I talk to the guy about that, but then I don't know, because when they sell the seats, people pick what seats they want, and I think, I don't know. I do try to stress that. I'm like, look, right, if you want a good shot, I really need this. I need an area, but... I don't know. Nobody cares about this.
Money talks.
All right. Well, let's talk about some games on the radar, games that have come to our attention recently. Big news this week is Age of Empires 4.
Which we just remembered was big news 10 minutes ago.
On Saturday, they had a gameplay reveal. Now,
they had an event, right?
Yeah, they had an event. Now, I knew about this. I went on there, and it said... it's going to be premiering in half an hour. Unfortunately, I had to leave before then. My schedule is packed, so I couldn't watch it, and I forgot about it until today. So I watched the gameplay trailer, and I'm actually really surprised at how close they're keeping it to the original. Obviously, the graphics and the animations look spectacular, but it really does look like just a really good-looking version of Age of Empires 2, and that's not a bad thing. It's got a real minimal UI that I see, and I like that a whole lot. They've outlined a few features of the games, some of the different factions that you can play. Also, there's going to be the four ages, ending with the Imperial. It looks fantastic. It's also a release date. It's coming out in autumn. This has been in production for so long. It's going to be on Xbox Game Pass, which is cool. This is probably a must-buy for me. Big Age of Empires fan.
Yeah, same here. This looks like the best parts of Age of Empires 3. And 2, just everything updated. So hopefully there's no card system.
the only thing that I could see from, I mean, to me, as a non-Age of Empires player, you know, you're not getting the troop counts that you're getting from, you know, those other games like Total War games where, but I think in this game, like a small group is supposed to represent like a whole army, isn't it?
Nah.
No.
No?
No, you have individual
like wages. Yeah, I don't know.
When you select the units, if you look at earlier in this trailer that we're watching, he selected some units and it showed them at the bottom. So when you select them, you'll see how many you have. It'll tell you how many there are. But Yeah, I don't know. This looks perfect. It looks like they're riding that line that they need to ride, where they change all the right things, but they don't change all the things that are working. And I really liked Age of Mythology. I know that wasn't a huge hit. Pretty much anything after Age of Empires 2 wasn't really that well received. But Age of Mythology, they did some interesting things with that. I think because of Warcraft 3 coming out, they made the games, the multiplayer games, much shorter. They had hero units, but they were gods. So they had those, and yeah, the games just went a lot faster. I wonder if, I don't think they would do that in Age of Empires. I really don't think that they would include.
It doesn't look like they did. I mean, yeah, you can kind of see hero units stand out pretty well. I would imagine it would be in this video.
Oh yeah, there's a hero unit right there.
Oh yeah?
Kublai Khan, right at the bottom.
Yeah. Because didn't Age of Empires 3,
yeah, there was hero units as well, so maybe something worked for them there. I don't know.
Yeah, well, mythology, they were gods. In Age of Empires 3, they were
heroes.
Explorers, basically. Yeah,
they were big characters in history, basically. So, yeah. My race, faction or culture, whatever you want to call it, was always the Turks. I would just rush a bunch of Janissaries. And
are they people with mops?
No.
Janissaries?
No. They had guns. And,
oh, shit.
You know, in this game, there's not really a lot of ranged attacks. You have archers and stuff. But if you get a lot of those, they just mow people down. I also played the Franks a little bit. They had the Knights. Because everyone had their special unit that you could build.
Right, that you can't get on the other ones.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. The Teutons had their Teutonic Knights. I think the Japanese or the Koreans, they had some sort of crossbow unit. But I really liked the Janissaries.
The Franks is where your love of French started when you played them in Age of Empires 2, right?
That must have been it. The Chevalier.
Yeah. French horse neigh just got you inspired.
Yep.
Okay, Bobby, now do the whole review in French now.
C'est bon.
Another thing that stood out to me was that, you know, they come in with that Microsoft money, right? So when they did the motion capture for all this, they suited up the people in the appropriate attire before doing the mocap. So, like, people aren't going to be moving unnaturally in heavy armor or whatever. It's going to be moving the way you can move and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. There's just little details that no small developer would be able to, you know.
You know what I loved about Age of Empires 2 was the voice acting in that. Not just the whoa, lo, lo, lo. But whatever race you had, I don't know if they were actually speaking the language or not, but they would, you know, when you select units and you move them, even the villagers, they would just kind of say things in whatever language they had. And those little sound cues, those barks from the characters are just kind of ingrained in my mind because I played so much of that game.
Yeah. Man, this looks good. I mean, it's not something that I would play, but I'm glad that you guys are getting what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. DLG tournament, August. Be there or suck.
Damn. Laying down the law over here.
All right. What do you guys got?
I don't know. There's something on my screen that I was blocking it. I think. There we go.
What do you want? Suspects Murder Mansion? Mystery Mansion? What's this?
What? Okay.
No, that's not you.
Who is that? Whatever. Me. Let's go. This episode's a goddamn mess, guys. Pull it together.
We have these color coded for a reason.
Yep. Drake's Odds is a survival. It seems like it's a what do you call it? Like a God damn it! I can't think of it. Like PUBG. What's PUBG?
Battle Royale.
Like a Battle Royale, but this gives you the option where you could work together because there is an overarching goal. You're aliens dropping down on Earth, right? And you want to get your mothership to take off to go back to wherever you came from. And so you have to craft a whole bunch of stuff for that to happen. So you could work with other people. But you get a little bit of that DayZ action, you know, that like, hey, man, I won't shoot you if you don't shoot me. You know, those really super tense moments. Mm-hmm. besides that, you know, you get, it's very Mars Attacks looking. I mean, I, that's what I get from it. They don't exactly look like that, but it's more comical side of aliens attacking. You do get some mind control abilities, so you could potentially mind control like a cow and have that go and like run into bad guys for you. And that's also how you get your crafting recipes. You mind control humans and like kind of read their mind and see what they have in their heads. What I did like is that each instance of the game is, there's a time limit. No, there's an ending to each instance, but there's no time limit. So, you know, potentially it just goes on until somebody takes off in the mothership. So
it doesn't have that circle that closes.
Right. Exactly. So I don't know if you can drop into a world that's already started, you know, or it's just a key amount of players that just survive and then take it off. But I think there's a lot of cool little ideas here. At least it's a more comical take on it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're trying to do something a little different.
Yeah.
In their marketing, they're really pushing the size of the map is 64 square kilometers.
I don't know what that is compared to, like, other stuff.
Every mile is 2.2 kilometers. So, I don't know. It's about the size of, I don't know, Assassin's Creed Origins map, if that means anything to anyone. But, like, I'm kind of confused, like, how long are you supposed to play this game? Like, is it like Rust, you play it for weeks? Or is it like a PUBG where it's like shorter? I'm confused.
I don't know, honestly. All I know is like each instance does end. It just doesn't have a hard time limit.
It seems like with that big of a map, it would allow people to not interact with each other because there's no circle pushing them together. So there may not be as much player interaction.
Yeah.
They're allowed to just be off and do their own thing.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the nice thing about battle royales is you can get shot and then you're just out of the game and you join a new one. So with this, is it the same thing? Like if somebody kills you, do you jump into a new game, or is it kind of, are people expected to hang out longer in this?
No idea. There's not a lot. I read the whole article. There's just not a lot of information right now.
Okay.
It says it's like Rust or DayZ. This looks ridiculous. But this could be really fun.
Yeah, it could. Like, it looks fun.
Yeah. And I was wrong. That's ounces to pounds, folks. So don't come at me. Every mile is a sixth of a kilometer. Sorry, everyone.
Six? Is that right?
Yeah, I just Googled it.
It's like 2,500 feet in a mile, right?
Oh, fuck.
Or is that yards?
Wait. Why is it 25? That seems so random.
Dude.
No, it's like 25.
Everything in the Imperial measurement system is random. Everything.
Okay. Sweet. All right, I can go next. This Falling Frontier game. No release date, just says 2021. It's about positioning. So after playing Battlestar Galactica, I've almost beat the campaign. And it's all about positioning and moving your troops around and where it's more about where your ships are rather than what the composition of your ships are made out of. And this is like that, except it's a real-time strategy game. No pausing, no nothing. It's meant to be played multiplayer. And it's in a solar system. And you have to move your troops around, and they move really slowly. So it's all about planning where your kind of solar system assets are and converging them and trying to cut off your enemy supply lines and stuff. It's pretty involved. It might be too much micro. I don't know. I'm not a fan of a ton of micro, but you're planning out like logistic routes. You're setting up like little stargates so you can jump from one planet to the other. They say if you take one of your ships and you click on the other side of the game map, it takes like 12 hours in real time to move your ship there.
Damn.
So this is pretty hardcore RTS, I would say.
Yeah, and, I would imagine.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, dude, when you're moving that slow, like, you're not 100% committed. If you get some new information after you've committed something, you could totally like change your route or whatever it is. And that sounds good. Sounds good. It's very deep though.
Yes. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a kind of Ender's Game a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone's read the book, but they plan out their assault like years beforehand and the ships are already moving by the time, spoiler alert, Ender becomes the general.
Why do you think my name's Ender's Logic, dude?
Yeah, well, that's why I bring it up, because it's something you can probably connect with. And the emphasis is building these gates to increase your travel time. But even setting that up systematically takes a long time. If I can play a multiplayer game of this in like 3 or 4 hours, I think I'll be pretty happy. But anything longer than that, it starts to get like, I don't know, I might as well play something like Stellaris, where it's kind of designed to save and pick it up at a later time.
Dude, in 3 or 4 hours in regular life, you can level yourself up. Like, you can learn how to fucking knit in 3 or 4 hours. You know what I mean?
And you? I've always wanted to learn how to, like, crochet, but it's always something.
Throwing something out there, bro. I don't know. Fucking yes and, Chris. Yes and. Okay, you?
My grandma makes, like, 3 scarves a day, dude. So, I don't know. I'm just in the shadow of giants here. but 2021, we'll see how it is, if it releases on time. Pretty aspirational, I think.
Damn, it looks like Bobby has days worth of content here, but it's just two very long names. Mm-hmm. So the next one is,
it's not even long names, it's the subtitle that gets you every time. People take advantage of the subtitle. They're like, I'm gonna make it really, the title really short, and then I'm gonna have a super long subtitle.
Death, the maiming and killing of several piles of puppies. I don't know, that's what came out. But yeah, that's what it is. It's one word and then fucking a bunch of shit explaining that one word.
Yeah. So, well, this one isn't too bad. Suspects Mystery Mansion. So I've been really intrigued with board games lately, and not just any board games, but the old ones. We played Life, the Game of Life, a couple weeks ago. That was fun. It was interesting. The other game that I really wanted to play was Clue. I haven't played a game of Clue in so long. I remember that being a lot of
fun.
Never played it. Clue ever?
Ever.
You ever seen the movie?
No.
Okay.
God, you get a clue, dude. Jesus Christ.
Crazy. Well, this game, Suspects Mystery Mansion, looks like kind of a Clue clone, if you will. It's a multiplayer game. It's got online co-op. And you are trying to deduce who committed the murder in this mansion. So, I mean, it's basically Clue, right? Except they're not using Colonel Mustard and Mrs. Peacock or whoever, you know, the usual characters and the usual weapons. I like this idea, but I never have success with these board games on Steam. So on Steam, they also have the Game of Life 2. So it's like an updated version of the Game of Life.
Is that a true... Can you buy that game?
I don't know.
A physical one?
I don't know. They need to make a second one because, as we discussed a couple weeks ago, the original Game of Life is a little outdated. Needs a bit of a facelift.
You guys never finished that game, huh?
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, it's $10 on Steam for the Game of Life 2. The reviews are, they're not great. People say, hey, for the first
69%, baby. Nice.
69%. People say, hey, it's fun for like 20 minutes and then that's it. And plus, you need a community to play this game as well. And it's going to be hard to talk a bunch of people into buying a $10 game. Not only that, they've got DLC. So they've got content gated behind DLC, which is kind of dumb for something.
Graphically,
like
it looks great.
Yeah, no, it looks great.
Is this? DLC, the Game of Life 2, Age of Giants world? No, yeah, dude.
I don't know.
That ain't it.
They have a season pass. Why would you need a season pass for this game? That's so weird. So I don't know. Just kind of on principle, I'm kind of against this. And I've never had good luck with games on Steam that imitate board games.
Does fucking TTS have the Game of Life 2 built in?
Maybe. I haven't looked for that. I mean, that's why we played the original one.
We got to think about TTS first, and then we start looking at...
Well, that's why we played the Game of Life on Tabletop Simulator. Yeah.
Although this looks... Someone out there to reskin the Game of Life 2, just make it like Inside Joke DLG edition, and we can all play it.
It would be cool.
Good times. So, yeah, I don't know. Murder, Suspects, Mystery Mansion. I don't think it's out yet. I think the release date is April 15th. It could be good, but it would be something that I would be a little skeptical of.
Bobby, you think you and your girl would be interested in a board game night?
Probably.
Yeah. I've always wanted to start one.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy board games, and there's a lot of great new ones out there, mm-hmm. but there's just some classics that I have not played in forever.
Nobody will play Monopoly with me. No one.
Monopoly, see, there's the exception. I'm kind of over Monopoly. I played so much Monopoly.
Who's this jerk right here, man?
Here's the thing with Monopoly. It's very...
time intensive.
Well, it takes a lot of time, but I don't mind that. I mean, I used to play Risk games that would span weeks. You know, you'd leave it on the table, mm-hmm. and like that Seinfeld episode, nobody touched it.
Never played Risk.
That's a great game.
Yeah.
But with Monopoly, it's all about wheeling and dealing and like... there's a lot of like over the board, like talking and trying to like make deals and stuff. And I don't know, sometimes that can be fun, but usually it's a lot easier to get screwed over like that.
There's a lot of statistics
available.
Not just like if you have two people making deals, then it's like, boom, all right. So these are obviously the people. You always reach that point where it's obvious, like, okay, well, it's down to these two people.
Right.
The Microsoft and Apples are of the board, who the power mm-hmm. brokers are. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what pisses me off is I have a buddy. And
be that person.
Yeah, I have one buddy. And he works on the trains, and he has a lot of downtime, and he plays Monopoly all the time. And he's watched like Monopoly strategy videos and like, you know, he's meta Monopoly, and he goes by his spreadsheet. Basically, he's like, okay, if I buy this property, it's like a 20 to 15% chance of any return on investment. And he plays the game like that. And he wins every time. Like statistically, if you know the numbers, I feel like
I don't want to play with that guy.
No, it's not fun.
No,
but the whole game of Monopoly is very statistical because there's like a 60% chance you land on an orange tile, for instance, is a little bit of wisdom he shared with me. One of the most coveted game spaces on the board. And so if someone knows that and they're wheeling and dealing and they're like, okay, I'll give you like three of my properties for like one of your orange ones.
Yeah.
Puts a fucking hotel on it, bro. Runaway game for him.
Yeah.
The inside strategy on Monopoly.
Very quick on Monopoly. About 3 weeks ago, I deleted Monopoly slots. It was taking over my life, man. I just couldn't. I couldn't anymore. It's so much fun, guys. But I did get to a point. It took me about a month and a half to get to a hard paywall that I couldn't play through. I mean, that's pretty solid, right? That's a lot of play. The whole time I spent $2 one time. They got me at a weak point.
They got you at $2.
$2.
Oh, boy. But they always get you. That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. What else we got?
Am I up? Let's go with Trials of Fire. I don't have a ton of information about this, but let me tell you this. It's bought. It's already bought. PC Gamer gave it an 85. It is a tactical. Let's just go through the things that I like. I like high ratings from PC Gamer. I like tactical turn-based games. I love roguelikes. And I would say love card mechanics. And this is it. It's got it all. It's a grid-based, tactical turn-based game. But then I believe the cards are the roguelike aspect of it. How about I just give you a review next week? Because I'm already going to buy this. It's done.
It looks good, dude. It looks awesome. I'm excited for your review.
Yeah.
For your drunk review.
If I can stop goddamn playing Binding of Isaac, but more on that later.
All right. Last game I wanted to bring up is The Dark Side Detective, A Fumble in the Dark. So this was season 2 of Dark Side Detective, but then they gave it the subtitle here. This is a game I interviewed the developer over a year ago of this, and this is a point-and-click adventure game, pixel graphics, but it has exceptional pixel graphics. It's really impressive the way that they're able to get such a smooth look and the way that they do lights in this. It's really cool. This is a good, I don't know, I feel like I've talked about this game before. The first season of Dark Side Detective, that's already available. I played through that.
It's been a while, dude.
Yeah, it has been a while.
You're a big fan, right?
Yeah, I was a big fan. It was really interesting. You can look up the review because he explains it a lot better in this. But what they did is they looked at point-and-click adventure games and took out some of the parts that weren't as fun. And let me give you an example. So, like, a lot of point and click adventure games is walking around an area, and that can get really tedious. Now, Deponia kind of fixed this a little bit where you can double click on an entrance or exit and it'll automatically teleport you there to the next screen. But other games, you have to move your character around the area quite a bit. You don't have to in this one. You can click around in different objects and try to interact with them, but you don't have to move the character. So little things like that where they just kind of shave off the things that most people find unenjoyable about these types of games. So Dark Side Detective is really one that I recommend, a point-and-click adventure that I recommend to people who don't play point-and-click adventures. Mm-hmm. I think this is like a kind of a more modern take on it. So I'm excited for the second season. Should be good.
Cool, man. Glad.
The first game is $14. If anyone, did you buy it at that, Bobby, or did you get it on sale?
Oh, I'm sure I got it on sale. You know me. Right. Yeah, I think it's been part of bundles. I'm not sure. And also the second one, they had a Kickstarter for it, so you could have got in on that. I don't know if that's still happening. The release date's right around the corner. So
you back? You back anything on Kickstarter, you guys?
I've never backed a single thing on Kickstarter. I don't even know how to. I'm sure it's easy, though.
Yes. Not much, though. Two things, maybe. Hmm. Yeah.
I feel like that's not a big conversation anymore, Kickstarter.
Not as much as it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once they knew that the DLG was out.
Cool. Nobody talking. What are you going to say about Pulsar, Bobby, that I'm surprised you put this on here.
Well, I put Pulsar on here to talk about because I didn't have a chance to play anything this week, which is really strange. I usually play at least something on Fridays, but I got home from work at like 4 or 5 o'clock on Friday, and then I had other stuff to do. And then we had Pulsar at 7. So it was really the only thing I played this week. We were missing a couple people. We brought in a random, and he was the pilot. And
did you tell him that you guys were role playing and this might or might not be a simulation?
Well, I think it was advertised. I think it was posted in the Pulsar Discord. Hey, we're looking for someone. So he knew that we were role playing. But it's always weird when you bring in somebody who wasn't there from the beginning, and then it's a stranger you don't know, and then just to like play make-believe with a stranger is very weird. So right. I don't know. It was a little awkward, but it was all right. This game is incredible because we're doing things that I've never done before. I'm up to like 32 hours in this game. I've done so many missions, but every time we do one, it's always something new. And we're really hitting a stride here. We've leveled up quite a bit. We've upgraded the ship. I've got 2 pistols. It's really starting to take off. For instance, we had a mission where we had to protect somebody. It's a pretty standard mission you encounter in games. You have somebody who's doing something, and then the enemy just keeps coming at you wave after wave, and you got to kill them so they don't kill the guy that you're protecting. But that was the first time I had ever encountered that type of mission in this game.
We had to set up like a firing wall, dude. It was awesome. It was so fun. We failed it
many times. Yeah, it was the hardest mission I think we've encountered.
I was about to ask, are things getting, you have double pistols now, are things getting easier? But no.
Nah.
Like the scaling is good.
They're getting harder, yeah.
They're definitely getting harder. We're on, I think, kind of a main storyline quest for the faction that we're following right now. So, this one, I didn't even know if we're going to be able to finish this one. The second time we lost, I was like, fuck.
Well, if there's a storyline campaign, then you probably won't see a lot of repetition, I'm imagining. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a baked-in story. But that's good, man. It's good that it's not... You know, after your last explanations of how your game nights were going, I was like, ooh, this one's going the way of the dodo. I don't think you guys are going to keep going. But now you're having a good time, so it sounds good. Except for your people not showing up.
Yeah. So, well, it's good that we have a bigger crowd that we can draw from because a couple people are always busy every week. And, Bobby, one time you told me that you're very good at dealing with annoying people, you know?
Probably from being fucking teaching kids, I would imagine.
Where is that from?
Dealing with me for years.
Yeah, I've got a high threshold for dealing with people. Here's the thing. This is how I always explain it. You know, in the first Avengers movie where... there's the whole thing with the Hulk, and he asks him, like, how do you keep from getting angry or something?
I'm always mad.
And then later, you know, like, because when he gets angry, he turns into the Hulk.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, how do you stop yourself? And like, and then later in the movie, there's just some like punchy one-liner where he's like, here's my secret. I'm actually always angry. That's kind of like me. I'm always annoyed. So yeah, I find like pretty much every person annoying. So I think when like really annoying people come along, I'm just like, oh, it's just another annoying person.
Typical.
Wow. Just another meat bag.
To be in the mine. For people who don't know, I don't know. The person who came and joined us was super fucking annoying, and we were all getting real tired of this bullshit.
Listening,
except Bobby. Bobby was silent. Bobby said nothing the whole time. Everyone else was
very young. You know what it reminded me of? It really reminded me of
when he was young.
When he was young. Kind of, but it reminded me when we played Smite and we'd like group up with the rando and it'd be like some young kid who would just constant stream of talking and just like just completely different wavelength than us is what it was.
Dude, so. Mila's 8 now and we have to constantly remind her that you can't think out loud. Like you need to stop. Like it's getting bad, dude. Bad.
Yeah.
Just like every 5 minutes we have to remind her you got the stream of consciousness. we gotta stem the tide, dude.
Those are inside thoughts.
Yeah, those are inside thoughts.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, so I mean, it looks like I'm going to be talking for about half an hour. Well, you got something else?
The last note on that is, so Sniper kept purposely, were you purposely mispronouncing his name or are you just really bad at people's names?
I thought I was doing it right the first couple times, but then he was like,
well, I don't
getting
think you,
antsy,
and I, then I don't I was think like, you no. heard him because he kept on correcting you. And then like by the third or fourth time, he's like, all right, I'm just going to give up on that. But he kept mispronouncing his name. And what I really have a tough time with sometimes is people who are just bewildered. Like I deal with this all the time. People who are not good with technology, don't know how things work. You know, that's my job is like explaining and building capacity in them. But when I'm playing video games and I'm like playing a co-op game or something, and I'm playing with somebody on comms who is just like befuddled by their computer. Like, what is this? I'm like, dude, get it together, bro. Like,
yeah, he was having some computer.
And he was our pilot. He was our pilot too. And like, apparently he didn't know how the parking brake worked or something. Cause the ship just kept on moving. And he's just like, wait, hold on, why is it doing that? What? I'm like, dude, just figure your shit out and then get back to us, man. Just figure it out. All right.
He was just thinking out loud. He was doing the thing.
Just
he was
get it together, like, dude. Like,
dude, out of that, I get, first of all, that's funny. But second of all, you're saying that you like to build capacity on with people. You want them to get better at tech.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's a better route than just fixing it and walking away?
At my work, yes, because I've worked with some of these people for 10 years, you know, and it's better for me to teach them a little bit. And some of them are very resistant, obviously. They don't want to learn. Sometimes they got so much going on that they just can't cram another thing in. Yeah. So I know it's not going to stick. Mm. But still, I try.
But the ones that are receptive.
Yeah, or I keep trying because eventually something's going to stick. And if I teach them a little bit, it's going to make their life a lot easier. It's going to make my life a lot easier. Yeah, I mean, I'm not just fixing things. I'm trying to educate people as well.
I just came to the realization that Bobby's been finessing me for 8 years to be an adult male that's responsible for shit.
Oh my god.
I got the most here, so I'll go first, or I'll go before whatever. So I played It Takes Two. I paid the $40. I want to support that guy, whatever his name is. He makes
Joseph Ferris.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He makes two player games that are built from the ground up. You can only play them as two player co-op. It's overwhelmingly positive. I think it's 10 out of 10 on Steam. And there's a few things I want to talk about. First of all, it's great. I agree. It's probably 10 out of 10. We don't get a lot in the PC gaming realm. We don't get a lot of high caliber platformers. Usually it's like, I wouldn't say high caliber, but like you don't get the full package. You don't get the music, the sound effects, the graphics. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rayman Legends comes to mind, and that's about it. Like, I can't think, you know, it's very few and far between.
We got Ori and the Blind Forest. Like,
that's true.
A couple of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, which is a Metroidvania, but yeah, still a platformer. This has it all, man. This is like the graphics, the voice lines, from the ground up, the sound design, the way it looks, the story. So I don't want to give too much away, but it's kind of it's a little bit Parent Trappy, you know. There's some magic comes in, and the kid's trying to keep their divorcing parents from breaking up.
Okay.
And the way that works out is that the Book of Love, which happens to be like the most stereotypical Mexican ever, like, hey, let's go over here and we'll do some of this shit. And dude, he's so funny. I fucking love it, dude. He's so, every time he comes in, they're like, there's the door. That's where we need to go. He comes in and kicks it closed. He's like, nope, you guys got to work on some more shit. So his whole concept is to make them love each other more. They have to go through difficult things together. And so he just throws them into these more and more levels, you know? And
wait, you're playing as the parents?
You're playing as the parents. Yeah.
Okay.
As dolls that the daughter made out of like raw materials. To like spend more, how sad is this? To spend more time with her parents, she made dolls of them so she could like play
so
with them.
So is this taking place in, is this like the daughter or the child playing with her parents' dolls in her fantasy world? Or is
no, I believe that like her tears, like it was kind of like Wish Upon a Star thing.
Oh, okay. It's like a Freaky Friday mix. Like
they're in, yeah, they're in some other alternate universe and working this out. And yeah, like. Mila was like, oh, this is really sad, Dad. And I was like, yeah, it is sad at the beginning. And then you start playing it. And, you know, at the very beginning, you're playing through and you're jumping and you're doing typical platformer stuff. Like you aim for this or whatever. But then as you go through, the levels become like asymmetrical co-op. So I had the nails and she had the hammer. And so there's a lot of things you can do with that. Like, my nails were pegs that she could swing on, but I couldn't. And then I could also, she could hit things and make them go up kind of like a strongman thing. But then I would pin it to the wall where we needed it to.
Oh, okay.
And so this goes on and on. And the game doesn't stop doing that. It takes that concept of this asymmetrical co-op and just expands it. It's not just like...
It sounds a little bit like Deep Rock Galactic, where you have each class that can do something, but everything they do helps another class.
Yeah, but like there's only two classes, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
You pick one, you know, the male or the female, and you're kind of after that. But then at each level, it introduces two new abilities that you're going to get. So the first one has no abilities. It's just getting you comfortable with the moves. Then you go to the nail and hammer one. And then there's a bunch of new ones after that. Every night that Mila and I play, we beat one boss. So we're going into the third level now. So, yeah, more on this. But, I mean, it is great.
Is it fun for you and for her? Like,
yeah, we're both wise. It. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I just have to remind her for inside thoughts constantly. But besides that, it's good. I think you and Rianne should really play this, dude.
I mean, I think you kind of sold me on it. I didn't know the story was that you were actually the parents and that you had to do stuff to, like, I don't know. That's pretty compelling, a compelling story. So
yeah. And like I'm saying, it's not, you know, it's traditional jumping around, but there's a couple times where I was stuck and I was like, oh, what are we supposed to do here? I looked around and I wasn't disappointed when I found the solution. I wasn't like, that's just fucking stupid. This was hidden or whatever it was. It was like, oh, this makes sense. I just didn't think about it right away. You know what I mean?
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, it's great. Love The Brother's Tale of Two Sons. So
there you go.
I mean, if this is better, then let's do it. Also, yeah. Bobby, what the fuck? Are you trying to relate everything to Deep Rock Galactic?
when you're talking co-op, I mean, that is a big touch point. Is it kind of like... I don't know if Way Out was like this, but you have all these different abilities. Is it very obvious when you have to use them, or does it feel a little unscripted where you can find different solutions to the same problem? Or is it just like, no, okay, this is obviously like, I should
do this. This is obviously the way, but it's not obvious. That's the thing. I have these abilities. She has those abilities. How do we use those that we know we have to use in this, you know, because it's a 3D world. You have to really look around. You might not see the pinhole that I had. You have to throw the pin through. But yeah, I believe, you know, it's pretty linear, even though it's a huge world. I was like, Mila, this is a really big house that we're trying to get through. She's like, yeah, this is huge. We're in the whole level, the whole second level is the ducting system. You're like, how big is this? You know, but it's not reality. It's like this fantasy version of reality.
Damn,
it's great.
That's awesome. That's awesome that it's fun for you and for her. I think that's like testament to a good game that it keeps you both.
Look at these scores, man. A lot of the times, like, a lot of games will do this. It has their name really small and then a lot of scores all around. But they're usually not this high. Usually it's like eights and like fives.
Well, even the Steam reviews are very positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what, a 9 to a 10 out of 10 game, depending who you ask. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. And like I said, you don't get this on PC. You don't get games like this. The closest thing I can relate it to is Unraveled, graphically. But here's the thing. Unraveled was a side-scroller. This is a full 3-on world with the same graphic level of graphics. That's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I could play this off of your account, but you also only need one copy of this game if you're to play with somebody else. So you can download the friend pass for free.
Yeah. The only downside I can possibly say about this is in order to make that work, Bobby, you have to sign into your Origin account. And it does it automatically. And it was very, like, non-intrusive. It was like... It was the first time because I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, I haven't played any Steam games since Origin moved all their games back to Steam. I haven't played any with that third-party Origin thing, so I haven't encountered that yet.
Yeah, I clicked it, I did the launch, and then really quickly a web browser pops up. It signs you into Origin automatically, and then you go back into the game. But that was the worst part of the game.
Yeah, can't be any worse than the Ubisoft one.
Oh, that one was fucking terrible, dude. All right, I gotta pee. Talk about whatever you want, dude.
Okay. Would you guys ever eat, a dog? Someone, I think Emilio said a pile of dogs earlier. Would you ever eat a dog?
I mean, I guess if it was cooked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Raw. No raw dog for me. Only. Okay. What am I going to talk about? 0 Hour. So... when I interviewed John Higgins from Insurgency Sandstorm, at that time, the game was super hardcore. You had like some sort of stamina. You couldn't run forever. You moved slow. It was tactical. You had to check your corners. Since then, the game has changed. So I've really been looking for something that has that same tactical feel. And okay, one, this game, 0 Hour, is an early access. Two, it's like $11. It's $12 US. And three, it is fun as fuck. It is like, I was like, okay, it can't, it's an early access. It's going to be like a little janky. No, everything works. Everything's fun. There's like 7 different maps and it's a simple game. It's 5v5. One team's the hostage taker. They can move the hostage around this building. And they have to protect it. And the other team is, like some sort of SWAT or police.
Sounds a lot like Rainbow Six Siege.
Yes, very much like Rainbow Six Siege, except no abilities, and the weapon firing is very realistic. You'll notice like the recoil, the UI is, there's no UI. You'll have to manually check your mags. You'll have to pull the mag out, look how many bullets are in it, put it back in your gun.
Okay, so...
so it's, yeah, it's super hardcore.
Kind of like Insurgency... Sandstorm, didn't that do the same thing
at first? But yeah, they changed everything since then to make it more, I think, accessible for people. It's still a fun game, just not exactly what I'm looking for. So a friend of mine said, hey, buy this and we're gonna play it on Saturday with our group, and so we did. And you have to have a group to play this game because the player base is so small. I think there's 200 average people playing this a day. So
wow, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. So you'll run into the same people all the time, but it has that small feel, which can make it pretty enjoyable when you don't run into people who are toxic as fuck. And there's a lot of people who are just like, I don't know where they come from or where they get off, but they're like just super sweaty or negative or cringy, or maybe a mixture of all three of those. You plan out before you start your mission. So you have a 3D model of the map, and then you see where you think the hostage is. Now, they can move the hostage all around the map after the game starts, but that's where the hostage starts. And you can spawn in three areas on each map, and basically your whole team will want to pick one area and kind of plan out. You have 20 seconds to plan out a little route to how you're going to do it. Are you going to scale this wall? Are you going to jump through this window? Where are you going to throw a flashbang? Where are you going to throw the grenade? So it's very coordinated, and you can play it like that, and it's fun. Or you can jump around and shoot and be stupid, and it's still fun. But if you're playing a team that's playing well together and tactical, you're going to get wrecked every time because the game is really unforgiving. One or two shots and you go down.
This game came out a while ago, August 2020.
Yeah, it came out in early access a while ago. I haven't really looked too much into their roadmap. Apologies. But basically, from what I understand, the only thing they have left to do is put in the single player PvE mode. So right now it's only multiplayer. And you know what's interesting? 200 people average play this game, but the player data on the owners is 200,000 to 500,000 people have bought this game. So I think once this comes out of early access, it's going to have a healthy player base. The game is good. The game is super fun. I think people don't like how little people are playing it at once, and that's why not a lot of people are playing it right now. And it's also...
Usually player bases don't go up.
Well, not all the time. Early access to full launch, I think there's a high chance your player base does go up.
Yeah,
because you have all these people that have you have all these people that have tried it throughout the years, wanted to support the developer, whatever, tried it for 7 or 8 hours, and they're like, okay, I'm going to wait for it to release. And then when it releases, all those people, or a lot of them, come back for launch day and maybe the week after, and then you start to build maybe a community off that. But super fun game. I think perfect for game night for people who play FPSs like COD and stuff. It's just fun to plan with your friends and then have killing your friends, you know? It's a little more serious than a COD, but still fun.
Have you played Rainbow Six Siege, dude? This is basically Rainbow Six Siege.
This is like original Rainbow Six Siege, but again, there's no abilities per person, and there's no janky bullshit. There's no colors. There's no
colors.
In-game purchases.
Yeah.
It's true to what is the essence of Rainbow Siege without all kind of the, I would consider like bullshit they put on. Yeah.
Cool, man. Glad you liked it.
Would you guys ever play a shooter like this where it's more about planning and working as a team?
What does the defensive team do for those 20 seconds?
They prepare. So they have some like door traps or door jams, and they want to coordinate to see, okay, where can we move the hostage that's in a little better position, and then where can we kind of set up and defend?
Yeah, I'd try it out for sure. How would it cost?
It's $12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd try it out.
Okay. Yeah. I had a fantasy where we had a 5v5 in-house. I don't know if there's people out there who can make that happen, but check out Zero Hour on Steam. And
Nick's been trying to get three people on squad for 5 weeks.
Yeah, but squad is like one of the least accessible games out there, I feel like.
Oh.
So much shit to learn, dude, to jump in, and then it's, what, $45?
The price is a little high, but yeah. I didn't really find the game that daunting, really. Felt like I was, even if you don't know exactly what you're doing, you kind of like understand that you're not supposed to get shot, and then you're supposed to shoot the bad guys.
I mean, just play a couple more rounds of squad, Bobby. I feel like this is a green-eyed version of squad, but if you play enough rounds, I feel like you'll get to the point where you have a lot of matches where you basically have done nothing. And you're like, why do I play this game? Because you're not with a group, basically.
Bobby clearly has chartreuse-colored glasses here.
Ooh, that's a callback.
Yeah. Binding of Isaac, Repentance. I already talked about it. I said it's everything that it could have been. Like, I really couldn't have asked for more. It is difficult. It is very, very difficult. But, you know, fucking we play roguelikes because they're difficult. That's not saying anything. A lot of the negative reviews, I think people were just unhappy with, you know, not getting more of the same. They got almost like a complete rework of a lot of things. A ton of new bad guys. And every bad guy you need to learn. And they're pretty relentless. But let me talk about what I really like. Some more things. These new levels have, like, before there was different levels with different themes, but a lot of the same bad guys. Now, each level theme has their own bad guys. So there's the drow, which is like the leaky, sewery type thing. And first of all, it's hard as shit because everything has a reflection. So you see yourself plus your reflection in the water. There's water spiders that go, like, that's what I'm talking about. Like things like the water spider, they're only in the drow. They can go over holes because there's not really a hole there. There's a very thin layer of water. So they're just kind of like going, skittering across. So it tricks your eye because you think they're not going to be able to go over this hole, but they can. There's invisible bad guys in the drow, but you can see the reflection. But you don't shoot what you can see. You shoot where their body would be. You know what I mean saying? Like, it's almost like shooting.
It's like when you see the shadow, but not the person. So right. You have to kind of guess where they'd be.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's hard enough on its own. But then you mix in that character with water spiders and then some other shit. And you're just fucking scrambling to stay alive. But what I'm trying to get here is the theme of the water, the music with the water level, all goes great. Then you go to the mines. And the mines has its own, like, rock-based bad guys. This is not really a thing from before. Like I was saying before, you're seeing a lot of maybe different versions, but mostly just the same bad guys throughout the game. Maybe bigger or whatever. Now it's like, now you're seeing rock with this, and the music just goes along with it so well. And mine carts and stuff like that. And then the last one is the ones that I know is a mausoleum. Actually two more. You know, you're going with like a darker theme. They've had this before, but it just works so much better now. Thematically, I'm loving the game. The other one that I wanted to mention was this is the one where I was like, man, they are really changing the game here. What is this game called? The Corpse, which I think potentially you're playing through a corpse. And so everything is rot and kind of like putrid. That's the theme. And you're looking at these bad guys and you're like, oh God, like, oh, this is awful. But it fits the theme and it just works so well. And the music, it just brings it all together. I'm such a big fan. The co-op, Sam and I are obsessed. I think Luna is having a harder time in life because we're playing so much. Like, she was walking around the garage, like, on her own, kind of, like, just, like, touchy stuff. She probably shouldn't because we couldn't let this run. It's still live right now, this run. Sam didn't even want to close the game. You pick up right where you left off, but she's like, it's such a good run. I don't want to let it go. The downside of this co-op is that I can't play without Sam. She has to be there for us to continue this. I can't start another run without her being there. I could. What?
All part of her plan.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't start a completely new game and have, like, it doesn't have profiles or something?
Oh, I could do a profile, but
okay,
Bobby, Am I going to give up 1,400 hours of progress to play another? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not within my profile can I have another run going.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
So it's taking progress you've made from other Binding of Isaac games.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Like, I still have all the characters that I've unlocked. Mm-hmm. There's two new characters. Bethany, I think one of the biggest selling points for Binding of Isaac and roguelikes in general are synergies that you can, mm-hmm. you can't anticipate, because a lot of times you can't build. Yeah. You can't make a build. It's just whatever comes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But Bethany kind of has her active ability automatically mixes. You get this hybrid item with all of the other items. So as soon as you pick up any active item, it already has this pre-programmed like a synergy built in, and it's completely new. You haven't seen anything like it. So it's really cool. That there's a character that's basically built on synergies, because she already comes with one. A lot of the times you start with a blank slate. You have to pick up two different items that might synergize. This one, you're already halfway there, and it synergizes with everything. So you get a lot of crazy shit with her. Another thing that I really like is the golden rooms. That's the one, that's what I call them. I'm not sure if that's what it's called, but, that's where you get your items, right? Big thing. You always want to hit the golden room. It's really important. Now, instead of just having one item, you're stuck with that item. There's the one item and there's a question mark. And so you can go with the item that you can see, or you could go with a mystery item. And so it goes,
what's in the box?
Exactly. So you're like, it gives you a little bit, a tiny bit more agency in your build.
Mm-hmm. You is there ever something really bad in there?
There are things that will fuck you up. Yeah. Not like this is a bad item, mm-hmm. but it's a bad item with what you're trying to do.
It'll mess up your build.
Mess up your build. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. It's incredible, guys.
It's like a game show.
I fucking love this game. I love it.
Oh, man. Every time I look at this game, I wonder how can it be good? But yeah. I can't deny that it must be good. Like, I guess I just have to try it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Jeez. I want to play it right now. I'll do one more and then you can jump in. So totally accurate battle simulator is something I've been harping on, kind of like Bobby's been on DRG for a really long time. I love this game. This is like when I would think, you see the G.I. Joe commercials and the kid happens to have the perfect backyard for it. You know, like, mm-hmm. why does this kid's backyard look like it has cliffs and shit? Like G.I. Joe live? Like, where does this kid live? You know, kind of the same thing with the Hot Wheels commercials where, like, why does he have a 40-foot kitchen? It doesn't make any sense. It does for the commercial, though. Anyway, that's what it is. It's playing with little toy figurines in like thematic little battlegrounds. You can pick whatever you want. They're all to say it's calling itself serious, just like totally accurate. It's the opposite. It's not accurate at all. Will unit A always beat unit B? No, because sometimes unit A is going to miss every single one of his shots because they're made of jelly. These people, they're shooting all over the place. You have these two armies fighting each other. It's just so much fun, but they had their 1.0 release. The game is out. So the two big things that came with that was the Steam Workshop capability. First thing I did was let's see what's popular. Of course, Star Wars was at the very top. Clicked on the Star Wars one. Bobby, when I say that, like, they have everyone, I would say, like, every unit plus subunit of every era of Star Wars possible. Maybe they didn't do a great job of it, but, like, you could just go to the Clone Wars era, and they have, of just the clone stormtroopers. Honestly, it's too much. There's like 15 variants of stormtroopers for the Clone Wars, and each one has like all these variants. And a lot of them don't work very well right now, but at least they have them in there, and they're working on it. It's brand new, so they're working on it. It's cool that you can, you know, you can have Jar Jar Binks versus, like, which for some reason has some sort of throwing disc. Does that make any sense? I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, the Gungan boomerang, dude. Famous.
I think you're being facetious.
Is it actually like a flat disc or something? Yeah, like a blue ball that he.
No, I wish that would have made sense. The blue ball. That's what I was. He should have got.
The booba. You guys are saying yeah. The booba.
The boomba, yeah.
Is it the boomba?
I thought so.
Okay. Doesn't matter, I guess.
Doesn't matter.
Just life changing. It's fine.
Yeah, so. The other big thing was multiplayer. I have not played the multiplayer, but I could only imagine it's going to be fucking awesome because instead of you going up against pre-built armies with a certain amount of, think of it like Warhammer 40K, I had to say it, you get a point value and then you spend X amount on whatever troops you want. And then so does your opponent. And you send them against each other, you know? It doesn't have anything to do with... sorry. It doesn't have anything to do with much... I mean, it's strategy, but it's not what you would think as a traditional turn-based or anything like that.
Yeah, it's kind of... It reminds me a little bit of a game I used to play with a friend of mine. This is going to sound really stupid.
Deep Rock Galactic.
No. when we were really young, we would take all my cars, my little toy cars... And we would go, we'd have like a draft. So we'd pick like, okay, I picked that one. Now you go, you pick that one. All right, I'm going to pick that one. And we all kind of knew which cars were the best. So, you know, there was a bit of a meta there. And then we'd just line up. The game was called MASH, by the way. We'd line up all our cars facing each other on both sides of the kitchen. And then we just push them as hard as we could at each other. And whichever one's got flipped upside down, we're out.
That's awesome.
And then we just keep doing that until somebody's entire team was gone. It was really fun. Yeah, kind of want to play it again, to be honest. I don't know if my
it sounds
are,
really good.
Yeah, but that's kind of what Tabs is. You're just like throwing these units at each other and just seeing how it plays out.
Now, in single player, you can jump in and take control of any one of the units. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you could be the fucking Rambo and take over and win. No, you are limited to this jelly person's abilities.
It's so difficult, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
I try to take control of the rocket of the rock. Oh, what are we looking Asian at? Rocket ship.
The TF2 guys.
Yeah, TF2.
Yeah, yeah. So the TF2 guys are posted on the Steam discussion group, and then the dev commented, and he says, "Calm down, my children. You will get your Tabs Fortress 2 faction soon." 3 hours ago. This is new information.
Oh, shit.
Breaking. DL Gaming. Yep.
Boom. Wow. So yeah, they're probably working with Steam.
That heavy looks weird, dude. He is really tall and too thin.
He's seen better days. He's a bit he's a bit creepy.
He's got the big bug eyes too. Just
I can't wait to play multiplayer. I was hoping Christian would play with me today.
Totally. I will totally. I'm
totally accurately or all right. That was. I'm sorry. Sometimes you say something and you're fucking sick of yourself. But yeah. Fucking, it's here, guys. If you were ever going to buy this, now's the time. For sure. The campaigns are super fun. I've played every single campaign. I can't say anything bad about it. This is a 10 out of 10 for me.
The reviews are so good. They're like 98% positive. Holy shit.
Like fuck off. If you buy this and you're like, man, I don't know about it. Yeah, go fuck off, dude.
Who is the person? Okay, wait. I don't know if you want to say anything else. I just want to find one bad review just to see what they're saying.
There we go.
Game was fun. Spent 9 hours on it. Lost all progress somehow. Okay, obviously this person's an idiot. Next.
Developer responded to that one, too.
The developer looks like...
Looks like the developer's telling people to fuck off, too.
I think this guy was confused. He says, why are you looking for an excuse not to get the game? You'll love it. Thanks for the 100 likes. Thumbs down.
That reminds me of my... I'll always bring it up. My fucking Yelp review. My one not five-star Yelp review. 200 fucking five stars. One person was like, excellent. Emilia was great. Him and his helper did everything I needed to. 4 stars. I don't understand. It must have been a misclick. I don't know.
Some people just don't do 5 stars, man.
Yeah.
Like Christian in Jurassic Park over there.
Jesus.
It's, yeah, everyone listening to last episode, I watched Jurassic Park. Definitely a 4-star movie.
Oh, my God, dude. Wow.
It's just you were at a time, different time, like, and it's going to be like that 20 years from now. Movies that I think are awesome, people are going to be like, eh, I mean, it was okay.
Well, what were you watching when you were 10 years old? Or you didn't watch movies until 3 years ago, that's right.
Yeah, I had to watch religious movies and Star Wars pretty much. That's probably why I love it so much. It was one of the only things I watched that wasn't so typical. I watched Bible movies where Jesus got crucified and we learned weird shit and like the Prince of Egypt and stuff like that.
Are you talking about the greatest story ever told? No, that's literally the name of the movie.
Oh,
I don't know what that is.
I mean, it's like a 3-hour biblical movie. But I sat through that one way too many times as a kid.
Man, I thought I grew up religious.
No.
Well, what's like that? VeggieTales or
I
something?
I thought I grew up religious. Now, you guys are talking about this stuff.
Oof. Dude, have I told you about I had to confess because I looked at the Sears catalog? I had to do like 70 Hail Marys.
And oof.
The most anyone had ever gotten that day was like 10, and everyone was looking at me like, this kid fucking murder someone? Or like, why is he? He's going forever. And mass doesn't start till everyone's done their penance, right? So everyone's waiting. And I'm kind of going pretty slow because, you know, I feel bad for looking at the Sears catalog.
Damn. But,
yeah. That's another.
By the way, dude, I know somebody has, he has access to those old Sears catalogs, especially the bra sections. Yeah.
Yeah, the bra sections, yeah, that kind of did it in for me. But, it might bring up some bad memories. I don't know. Every time I look at a catalog now, I have to skip over that. Just, Sharpie it all out.
Every time that somebody sends you an unsolicited catalog, you just throw it in the trash. And you're like, fools.
Yeah, which happens all the time. I get
fools.
Everyone's like, you want my catalog? I'm like, no, I can't look at that shit. Get it away. Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. The Myst Reader. Did you guys play the old Myst games?
The original one. Yeah. I played a little bit of that.
Okay, very little on my mom's Power Mac.
Okay. Yeah. Same. I mean, I was too young to really get the puzzles, but my mom would play with me or I'd watch my mom play. And then later on, I read the books. They made books from the movies. I don't know how many.
From the games?
From the games. I don't know how many books are made from games where it like expands the universe and stuff like that. So I wanted to ask you guys that question. But on the book, it's fucking great. It put me right back as a kid. I thought, maybe it'll be kind of cringy. It's a book from a game. Like, how good can it be? I was probably young. I enjoyed it more. Mm-hmm. I just finished it today and... No, it's great. It really holds up. And the Myst universe is so cool. The ability to create worlds within the world and the formula they have. No one that I can think of has really done that. Other than like Stargate, where you have, you can basically go to any world that the writers write because it connects to every planet in the galaxy. Hmm. But yeah, super good. And then, transmedia. So do you guys have a favorite piece of lore or something that's been expanded upon from a game where the game was first, everything else came out?
God, I don't know, because most things don't really start out as games and then move on to other. Well, I guess there's a lot of movies like that, but books, I don't know.
Strictly from a game, sourced from a game.
It doesn't have to be books. It could be maybe like a comic, maybe even a movie. You know, lots of video game movies, I guess, or not a lot, but some.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not a lot of great ones when it comes to that.
Kurt is saying The Witcher novel, but that was a novel made into a game.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's crazy. And I was surprised how good this was. The developers of the game, two brothers, they also just wrote the book. And then they became directors. And then he invented something. And it makes me realize some people are born with you know, all the dice rolls. They just whatever, like, they put their mind to something, they can do it. And then if they put all their effort into something else, guess what? They can fucking do that too.
Who talked to the Deep Rock Galactic dev? Was that you, Bobby?
We both did.
Oh, we both did.
You did the first time, I did the second
time. Yeah, after the first time, I was like, oh, some people are just better. He's just better than me. You know what I mean? He's like funny and obviously smart, and like he runs this whole thing. And I'm like, oh, geez, yeah, just better.
I don't know what the plot was of Myst. And what little I remember of it, I think I might have confused with Seventh Guest as well. So I don't know. Those two kind of blur together for me.
Do you want like a quick rundown? I don't know if everyone needs it, but basically your father, there's a civilization that makes these books. And when you write the book, how they write it, it makes like a real universe. And when you touch the book with your hand, you jump into the universe. That civilization is destroyed and a couple people survive from it. The main character's father is evil. So now he's making these books and he's making people his slaves, basically. He makes them call him God. And he destroys worlds that disagree with him that he made. He throws them into the fire or he tortures them. And you play as that guy's son coming to understand that your father is evil. In the games, you play as someone coming upon the son whose sons are now abusing the power. And you have to solve the mysteries and trap them in worlds that they've created so they can no longer create new worlds and kind of fuck with people.
Do you think that was all baked in like on Myst 1? Probably not, right? That's something that,
I don't think so. No, yeah. Not from what I remember. Myst 1, from what I remember, was really basic.
Yeah, just like, yeah. That's what I played really on the Power on Mac. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going back, dude, I'm so glad that my mom had a PC. Well, she had a Power Mac, but there's a Macintosh. But
yeah,
I'm so glad that like that's really what, you know, I never left computers after that, really.
Same here. I wouldn't even have been into gaming without my mom. She would play all sorts of stuff, and I'd watch her, and then I'd want to play it after. So kudos to her.
Do you ever send her anything? Like, you should play this, like FTL? She'd probably love FTL, dude.
She's not so great. You know what I did send her? 80 Days, and she loves the shit out of that. You know, she likes simple, slow, relaxing kind of games. And
send her
80
some
days
of the point-and-click adventures that Bobby talks
Monopoly
about.
Slots.
Yeah, Monopoly slots. Nah.
You know what? Fuck you, Bobby.
She'd fucking burn shit. That. She'd be like, this is a devil. This is a devil. You know what? I downloaded Monopoly slots when you were talking about it, yeah. Emilio. And I played a little bit, and I was like, okay, I think I get it. I went to bed. I woke up. I have all notifications turned up on my phone. Somehow, the notifications were there. 7 notifications. I was like, no, that's going away right fucking now. Are you kidding me? 7 notifications while I'm sleeping, bro? Get real.
But here's the thing, dude. Half of those is offering you free coins. So you got to be there. I was there every 2 hours. Every 2 hours, you get a new delivery of coins, dude.
Nice. They really give you the juice on.
God, more and more. I don't know. It's really bad with mobile games, but even other games. I just hate when I start feeling like a hamster on a wheel. And if I get any like hint of that from a game, I just kind of ditch it.
Wait right till there. We get to my listener question, Bobby. We're going to talk about all of this.
Okay.
All right. What's happening with Epic, Emilio?
So basically, they've spent something like $444 million on their exclusives, which was kind of a gamble. We don't know if we're going to make that money back. Mm-hmm. They made some of that money back, but not much. And so they took a $300 million loss on trying to make Epic Store a Steam competitor. Now, they are saying that that's fine. That they're just eating that loss because they're investing for the future, and they're not planning for it to even sustain itself until 2023. So you know, a year and a half, 2 years from now, and you know they're doing a long term plan, which is good when you're trying to take down one of the most dominant companies in a particular space possible. So they're looking long term, and they're just going to continue doing what they're doing. Just want to get your guys' take on it. Am I a support of exclusivity? I don't know. I know that it is one of the strategies that it's implemented. PlayStation's been doing it for a long time. It got me to the point where, you know, I have to play The Last of Us. I don't know if those killer apps are still, like, out there and if this strategy works, but it is one of the strategies when you're going up against a competitor, especially one, you know, that is established and has brand loyalty. Like, how do you compete with Steam? You have to use every trick in the book, including what's ultimately going to be billions of dollars, you know, in losses. So I don't know. Are you guys still like negative towards Epic, or what are your thoughts?
No.
My final thought on it is that they have to come with a lot more bells and whistles. They need to have savior games better. They need to not lose your Borderlands 3 character permanently. They need to have much more what Bobby said, that like Steam needs to be like a Facebook. There's so much more they have to do.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of features on Steam that Epic just outright doesn't have.
But what I'm saying is, like, instead of losing $300 million on exclusives, they could have probably put that into software.
Yeah, maybe they could have done both. So the whole idea behind this is they made a whole bunch of money with Fortnite.
Right. And continue to, though.
Yeah, I mean, Fortnite's kind of waned a little bit in interest. And, you know, that's going to happen. Right. People are just going to move on. And they knew this. So Netflix is the perfect example. Netflix used to mail you DVDs. You know, you'd have your Netflix queue and then you'd watch them and mail them back. And they're competing with like Blockbuster at the time. Blockbuster had their online service. But Netflix was really successful eventually. And they knew, look, we've got to do something other than this. So then they started streaming their movies online. And then when they did that, super successful. We've got to do more than this. They started making their own original content and actually losing some of just like, you know, the network dramas that they just licensed out. And now like there's Netflix movies being nominated for Oscars and stuff. So like what Epic is trying to do is, we made a ton of money off of Fortnite. We're not going to do this forever. We've got to invest that into something else. So they make the Epic Game Store, and they're trying really, really hard to just get everybody on that. And everyone always compares it to Steam, and I mean, that's fine. I don't think they're trying to like take them down, but they're obviously trying to compete with them. But they're going to do whatever they can to do that. Unfortunately, I don't know why. They would have had a much stronger case and people would have liked them a lot more had they have just copied a lot of the features that Steam already had. But the exclusivity thing, yeah, sure, that's one way to go about it. Honestly, I really don't care. I don't care where I get my games anymore. I used to like everything in Steam. You know, it's all in one spot and it's, you know, I don't know, for some reason that made me feel more organized. Now I'll buy a game off of GOG. I'll buy it off of, well, I've never bought anything off of Epic. I take all their free games, but I'll get it off of Steam. I'll get it like wherever I need to get it, whatever's got the best price. Like I'll just get it there, because these days I'm just like playing a game, unless it's like Deep Rock or a few other games. I'm just like getting a game and then I never play it again for the rest of my life after a month. Like it's just out of my life. Like I'll never go back to it. It doesn't really matter. I used to feel very precious about my Steam library. Like, this is, you know, where all my stuff is at. What I think is funny about this, though, is if you read the details of this, so Apple's fighting them in this whole craziness, and they're kind of outlined. They're trying to explain to the judge, like, look, this is Epic's plan. They really don't want to, like they don't really have any beef against us. This is just like a scheme for them to make more money. So, and it's really interesting. Like it's probably all true too, but they hired they called it Project Liberty. So I don't know. I was going to explain like the whole thing first, but I don't think I need to. But they called it Project Liberty, and they hired a PR firm and paid them $300,000 to kick this off. And we knew it when this happened. When they started this whole thing with Apple, we knew it was like a publicity stunt because they had the hashtag ready to go, and it was just like a little too shady. And it's just so weird. And, you know, Apple, of course, is like kind of not, they're not a good guy either, so... You know, it's not like I have a whole lot of sympathy for them, but it is kind of gross how Epic is trying to manufacture and manipulate their Fortnite audience into joining their side so they can in turn make more money because they are making money off the exclusives. The way the exclusives work is they go to a company, they said, we will make sure, like, you have to say that we will only release our game on your platform.
And we're going to give you this much money up front.
We'll give you this much money. Now, you can make more money than that if you sell more copies, but we're going to guarantee this amount. Right. Yeah. So they're actually losing money on that for most,
every time
for most games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, you said you only got the free games, right?
Yeah.
I fell victim. That's not fall victim. I say that because it's not on Steam and I can't play with my friends a lot of times. But Borderlands 3, I had to have on day one.
Yeah, so you got to go through there.
Yeah, I went through there. And Metro Last Light, the newest one.
That was like the first exclusive, Exodus? I think.
Yeah. I think it was a really good deal on there, so I got that one as well.
Yeah, but the thing is that Epic knows where they're making their money. They're making it off of Fortnite. So if they can get more of a cut... of the stuff that they sell, then they'll be able to really increase the money that they're making. Yeah. So what they did was they said, okay, we're going to lower our price in our store, and then we can blame Apple for charging too much, and the people will take our side because people will look at, okay, well, if I go through Apple, I have to pay this much. If I go through
30% is their
credit. So they're saying, so Epic's making it look like, darn Apple.
Tyrannical.
They won't let us give you a deal. So, you know, blame Apple. And they're trying to turn everybody against that. And they're just using all this money they have to just do this stunt that they're hoping will just like break Apple so they can just make more money on top of that. So the whole like free games thing, it's just...
Well, they're losing money on that too.
Yeah, but they're not worried about that money.
Yeah.
They aren't making that much money off of that. So I don't know. It's a really messy and complicated situation, and I don't think Epic has a chance legally, personally. But I am not. I think it's so crazy when people are just like so anti-Epic and like, dude, I'll take their free games. I'll take.
She was so anti-Epic, dude.
Well, she's pretty hardcore Steam fanboy. Yeah. So yeah, but I mean, a lot of people aren't, and. You know, because they do stupid, shady shit like this, but, you know, so does everybody. So I don't...
It's standard corporate practices, but because it's in our wheelhouse, we're seeing it. You know what I mean? This is how business is done in the United States. You know, do these shady things. You're trying to take down the other guy. And it's out in the open because it's Epic and all, you know. Yeah, a lot of kids are looking at it.
Well, it's just, that's what I was really turned off by is the fact they're trying to manipulate their Fortnite audience, which is a lot of younger kids, into being anti-Apple.
Right.
I mean, there's lots of other reasons.
Meanwhile, they're all playing on Apple, iPads.
Well, there's a lot of other reasons you should be anti-Apple, but to blatantly manipulate, it was so obvious when they came out. What was the hashtag they had?
I don't remember.
It's like save Fortnite or cancel Apple or some shit like that. It was and it was all like day one. And then they spoofed the Apple commercial and they had the Fortnite guy running up and throwing the thing into the screen. Like it was all ready to go, dude.
Yeah.
It was like they had it queued up.
That's what $300,000 gets
you. It was such bullshit. But I mean, I don't know, man. I'm kind of like, the more I read about shit like this, the more I'm just like, I should just start pirating games again.
They should have made an area called Apple. So you could drop Apple? Anybody? Drop on Apple? No? Drop Apple? Where do we drop? We drop on Apple. All right.
Oh,
fuck Fortnite, you guys.
Wow,
terrible.
Damn.
That's a bit of a reach.
I've only played Fortnite 3 times. Forget the name. So, yeah, the joke was lost on me. But I want to take in a position opposite to you, Bobby. Okay. I think game, your average gaming person benefits from this fight and from the competition between Epic and Steam. And if Epic wants to be able to sell or to put an app on the iOS store, and Apple is saying, no, you can't, you have to go through us and pay 30%. You know, I kind of see their point. I think, well, maybe that's they have to fight.
Apple has a standard percentage they take. Yeah. It's 30% for everybody, no matter what you're doing.
It's always been like that.
It's always been like that. And Epic is like, if you click on this purchase button, and they did it without permission from Epic, from Apple, it automatically opened an Epic browser where you would get it directly from Epic to save the money.
It's like if I stood outside of Vaughn's and was like, okay, Vaughn's is selling dozen eggs for $5. I was like, $4.50, dozen eggs, just standing outside of Vaughn's or something like that. That's kind of what they're doing. They're
no, that's not like if you sold the eggs to Vaughn's, and Vaughn's upmarked it past a price you were comfortable with, people started complaining to you, and then you said, okay, you know what? I'll take my eggs and I'll sell them in front of Vaughn's for cheaper for the price that I want to sell them at.
The problem is 50% of your income or more comes from that one market. So that's the problem. Because you need to continue to sell at that market for you to stay in business. You can't just say, like, well, I'm just not going to sell it here. So what what they ended up doing is what Bobby's saying, standing outside and selling them at cost.
Yeah, well, giving people an option to bypass the Apple system, which, I mean, 30% is a lot. That's what Steam takes as well, too, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Steam takes 30. Epic takes, I think, 12 or something. They take a little less when they post it on there. But I don't know. I don't really feel like, I just think it's really shitty the way that they went about it, but I'm not like, I don't want to take sides like Apple versus Epic. They're both shit. Yeah. Steal your games.
Dude, I haven't stole a game in like 3 years, I would say.
I remember the last one I pirated and I played like 15 minutes of it. It was Dead Rising 3.
Oh yeah. Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's a lot of work, you know, it's, and then I don't know if it's still like this, but you risk getting viruses and stuff like that. You don't get updates. Of course you can't play some multiplayer games. You're paying for the convenience. And of course some games you can't even pirate either because they're just like always online games.
Yeah.
So you're paying for the service, but it is just,
It might be 4 years since I pirated something.
No, it's been longer for me then. Cause Dead Rising 3 was like,
that's a long time ago, man.
6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah. What is next? I'm glad I brought that up.
It's time for listener questions.
Subs, dude. Controlled Pears came in.
Thanks, homies.
15 month subs. He came in because we were talking about Zero Hour. Uh-oh. I closed the stream. Don't worry. It'll
be back soon. Controlled Pears, instead of doing subs, dude, just come on and just do it like talk about something for like 20 seconds. I could listen to you forever, dude.
Yeah, come on and talk about Zero Hour.
Yeah, you do a little more concise job of...
Yeah, he would, for sure.
It's good. It's good, and there's bullets.
Yeah, all right. And then recycled 32 months, and I think that is the longest sub we have.
You're the man, dude.
Nice. All right. Not a lot of listener questions today.
No.
Sorry, I just want to do a little intro to... No, it's okay.
We'll get bumpers one day, dude. Our last season, we'll do bumpers.
Okay, cool.
First question from Eat Less Beef. What is one game you suck at and you haven't finished, you wish you were better at so you can... but you wish you were better at so you can say you've finished it? That's got to be Cuphead for me. I don't think I got past the second level. And I knew right away, like when I started playing that game, I'm like, this is not my type of game. You need the controller. It's like a platformer game. This is just, I'm not good at these games. I'm not going to be able to beat this game. But it was such an amazing, well done, beautiful game that I really wish I could have experienced more for it.
Of it. I mean, you could watch it on YouTube, I guess, just to see all the animations.
Yeah, I guess so. But and I've watched people play a lot. That's one of my favorite speedruns is the Cuphead speedrun. But still, it's not quite the same as playing it and experiencing it for yourself.
I've got multiple things to say here. One, I beat Cuphead, and that was my last, like, oh my God, I'm still okay at games. Like, I can still do it. Because let's bleed into my next thing, and also my answer is multiplayer games. You don't really beat them, but, like, I used to be okay. Like, I could be satisfied with, like, a 13-5. And I'd be like, hey, I really did well. I'm third on my team. But now, like, as an old man, I don't know what it is, but I can't pull it off. These multiplayer games, I can't do it anymore. I'm just not good. I don't have the reflexes.
I don't know, man. I think you could still, there's got to be some out there. Like TF2, I'm still like, I'm probably better than I was back then. I don't know. But like other super competitive games like Rainbow Six Siege, I can't compete in that. But something like TF2, sure.
I will say this right now. If Bobby and I go in to a TF2 game, sure, we have the advantage of being. I have a pocket healer. We will be at the top of that leaderboard within a game or two. Guaranteed, Bobby?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could pretty much turn any game.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
Dude, I think that's a challenge.
Dude, I don't know. We're pretty good.
Challenge.
What's that game where, like...
Bobby and I probably have 50 hours of that, just that combination right there.
What's that movie where Rambo comes back with all those old people and they, you know, tear up the scene?
Every Rambo After 2.
Okay, never mind then.
Do you have an answer for this?
I suck at all games, basically.
I'm glad you say it, dude. Like, I've played games with Sniper, and it's fine. Like, he enjoys them. He's just not very good.
Yeah, the games I tend to play, you can't really suck at, or you can suck just in different ways.
That said,
really requires,
dude, I can't even play Crusaders Kings. Like, it does not work. But you understand those strategy games. I don't get them. I probably can't play Stellaris. Like,
yeah. No, I think everyone can. It's just like the time sink to understand and right. stuff that, you know, a lot of people don't have that time. They don't want to watch like a 2-hour tutorial, which sometimes it takes. But I don't really have a game where I've run into something and been like, fuck, I can't fucking finish this, because I don't play a lot of linear games like that most of the time.
Just out of nowhere, one of my very close non-gamer friends has been picking up games lately, and like real games. He went to Sekiro. I forget the subtitle for it, but you know, that's like the hardest game.
Yeah.
Shadow dies twice. I'm like, dude, this is a game for people who never stop gaming, and you're just jumping back into it after like,
I don't know. I feel like if you've played the Dark Souls game,
he's never played any of that.
Oh, okay.
So he has no idea. Oh. Yeah. He's never played a Dark Souls. He's been gone. He's been out of game for 15 years.
What made him play it?
His son. His son is playing games, so now he's playing games again.
Oh,
So. So he started playing, and he said that, you know, he had 2 days off, and he put 30 hours, 15 hours, 2 days, into Sekiro. And he, one of the days, halfway through one of the days, he's like, dude, I beat the first boss. And remembering from the DLG, I was like, pretty sure that's a mid-boss, dude. He's like, no fucking way. I'm going to Google it right now. He gets back to me. He goes, oh my God, there's two mid-bosses, then the first real boss. He's like, I'm really going to have to buckle down here. I was like, or not, dude. I was like, listen, this is for these games are for people who never stop gaming, or at least are really good. But he fucking just buckled down and fucking, you know, he's halfway through the game now. And he, you know, he calls me on the phone about gaming exclusively. Like, that's saying awesome, a lot. Dude. Yeah, dude.
Have you guys run into someone who, like you just told a story, but have you watched someone play a game that doesn't play games regularly and see what choices they make and how they like solve a problem?
Well, like, I think I told a story about 2 weeks ago about my really smart, you know, Jason, Bobby, mm-hmm. Jason Smart. He's an engineer. When we were in elementary school, he was shipped off to middle school for math. When we were in middle school, he went to high school. When we were in high school, he was going to college just for math. He'd get on a fucking bus and they'd send him to math. So all Asian kids, one Mexican, and it was Jason. And yeah, he beat Portal in like 45 minutes. And it took everybody else in probably like an hour and a half, 2 hours, the first Portal. So that was a big difference.
Yeah, I think I'm so much better at puzzle games like that now that I'm older too. I don't know. I got like really smart when I got into like my mid 30s. All of a sudden, I feel like it's just like things just clicked for me. Not sure what it was. Sniper, what's going on with the cat there? Does she want to say something? She's trying to get up on the mic.
Yeah, she really. when I'm talking, she thinks I'm talking to her, so she'll. She'll do this for hours, so that's okay. Fun, I guess. I watched my dad play Warcraft 3, and I put it on bots versus easy, and they're like easy is like really easy, and I left to do something. Maybe I went outside, and I came back in like 3 hours later, and he was still playing the same match. Like, what are you doing? He's like, well. He played the game not how you're supposed to play it. He expanded. He built like a line of towers. He basically broke the game. He built as many units as possible. And I'm like, okay, the goal of the game is to kill the other team. You know, you take your guys and you go fight them.
He went all defense.
No. He thought it was an economy game. He had to defend from the waves they would periodically send to get him.
Yeah.
But he never went and attacked them. He's playing a Warcraft 3 game for 3 hours. It's almost impossible. It's actually... So.
Have you ever told him that offense is the best defense? Anyway.
Well, when I told him...
Did he play again?
The game ends. No. He never played again. But I told him the goal of the game is to...
But dude, a seed was planted. I feel like you're losing an opportunity here. It sounds like that's right up his alley.
I don't know. That man has no time. He's like constantly doing shit. He's like, I just got 12 chickens. Now I have 2 goats and I'm making a greenhouse. And all these projects are like about 50% done. So I don't think he has much time. But back then.
Are you going to inherit a farm, dude? Or like a small farm?
Yeah, I'll inherit a small farm. Well... It's weird because my dad will inherit a farm, and then when he dies, maybe I'll get 2 farms. So we'll see what's happening.
Oh, shit.
Wow. I also have siblings, so we'll see who wants what.
I do some sniping on the job, dude, if you want the shit quicker.
Got to make some friends with my parents. Turn the siblings against each other like a Game of Thrones plot.
Damn, that was a long answer. Warconius, what do you got?
See, Warconia says, 2 questions. Some time has passed. Epic Game Store is losing a pile of money, and it doesn't seem to be really getting closer to all the features on Steam. Is it here to stay?
I think we already answered this.
Yeah.
We can just move on to number 2.
They had a roadmap and everything, but I don't know if they kept up with it.
Yeah.
The roadmaps have just been... you can't trust some of those things. The second question is directed at me, says, Bobby, how's Death Stranding coming along? I haven't touched it in a while. I got to pick it back up. Yeah. Because I had just gotten to the part. They've got a very long introductory part that's like hours long. And I'd gotten to that part and a little bit further. So I'm really now into the part where the game opens up into the big, vast universe. Fortunately... It's not one of those games where you really forget, like you really have to remember where you were and what you were doing and how to do things. I think it's pretty easy to get back into.
We're going to skip right back up to eat less beef question. Doom Eternal. It's exactly what Bobby was talking about. Like the epitome of how you can sink right back into Death Stranding. You cannot sink right back into Death to Doom Eternal.
But it's not a difficult game, I don't think. It's harder than the first one, but it's longer than the first one. It's like twice as long. I think that's the big problem.
I got to put it on easy or normal because I play on hard and like I forget what does what. I forgot how to dance. I forgot my fingers forgot how to do the dance that gets you to the show or whatever.
Okay. All right. And then Amelia, you've got something at the end here.
Amelia to Amelia.
Yeah, Amelia to Amelia. The state of video games. This came up when I realized that the PlayStation 5 doesn't have exclusives. And I was thinking about, it does, but just a couple. I was thinking, why? What is that? That is the driving force in the video game economy. One of, if not the top one, probably, you know, market share. What is going on? And so I started thinking about it, and I'm like, okay. It seems to be where we're at right now in video game as a whole, including consoles, seems to be a lot of remasters and rehashing of old things. And I think that's what, like when you're scared or when you don't know what to do, you'll revert to the last time that you were safe. Just in general, not as an industry, but as a human being or whatever. So we don't know what to do right now. So let's just go back to the last thing that made us money, and we'll make it good. That's what the industry. I feel like what the industry is doing. So. The PlayStation 5 has like 5 remasters on the way, and like, I don't know what else there is besides remasters, but like, updated graphics of games. And that's what's coming down the line. That's what people are excited about for the PS5. Now, I also feel like we're stagnating everywhere. I think that PC gaming's kind of stagnating, and there's a lot of like we talked about. I think a 2 remakes or remasters this week. And I believe that all comes from. I'm guessing. I'm just throwing this out here. I haven't read anything or anybody else's thoughts, but I think that for a long time, the whole pay to win game as a service thing was trying to take off for a long time, and it made a lot of people a lot of money. The MMO started it off, and then it went into, you know, like DLCs and pay us a monthly fee, and it made money for a long time. But now that era is dwindling, and people are not getting a return on their Monopoly slots. Did not make their money back. You know, and we're getting to a point where we don't know what the next step is as an industry. I feel like,
oh my God, dude,
I really do. I really do feel like that's where we're at.
No fucking way. No, dude, I can't even follow you. I'm sorry. I truly can't follow the logic because of all the different types of games that are released, especially on PC. And when it comes to remasters, they're remastered because there's a market of people still alive who wants to play an updated game. It's not a safe thing to do. A lot of the times, your expectations are even higher. You have nostalgia to beat, and it better be fucking good, and you better not change too much about it, because then you'll have all these people up your ass. So I would completely kind of disagree with that.
When was the last time we got a new genre other than Battle Royale?
What genres are even left?
Well, Battle Royale was new.
There's a roguelike was new before that. Things, though.
But when did we get a new genre?
I mean, all the time. Like, nobody's just, none of them are catching on.
When's a new giant IP that we got that we're like, oh, this is the shit? It's not happening, I feel like, as frequently as it did before. Because
I think that speaks to how many different things there are to choose from, whereas classically we came from just less developers making less games with less option. You know, like we're in the era of Netflix and everyone's making a show. the chances that a mass thing overtakes, like everyone plays Doom, I don't think that's ever going to happen again. But I don't think that's because of a lack of imagination. I think it's because there's so many different chances being taken in a lot of different directions. But there's still your AAA stuff that can get
typical. So something as big as Battle Royales is not going to happen again?
Well, I don't know.
Or roguelikes?
I mean, what was the last big thing we had since then? Among Us?
That was one game, yeah. And I don't think it's been copied too much.
Yeah. I don't know, because this is a thought that I had a while ago. I think everything has become so niche, and it just doesn't... People don't all jump on the same page like they used to, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like Half-Life 2, where what else are you going to play? Like, literally, what else is there out there? Like, there's...
Which, by the way, there's a remaster coming out of.
Yeah. But, I mean, we have such a history of games now. Old, and I say this all the time, old games are great. Like, those games still hold up, and you just give them a bit of a facelift, and people will buy them again. I don't think that's leading the industry, though. Like, I don't think everybody's buttering their bread off of remasters.
No, neither am I. But they're not taking risks. They're going back to what's...
Well, AAA companies don't really take risks anyway. They just kind of do whatever they think is safe and appeals to the largest, broadest audience. You know, the risks are being taken with the small indie games, and every now and then one of them catches on, and then a AAA company will copy that and try to capitalize on it. But I don't... I don't.
You guys are both saying that I'm wrong, you sons of bitches.
Well, you're saying there's not creativity and nobody's taking risks. Dude, there's more games coming out now than there ever have.
Well, I'm talking about the AAA titles.
Well, the AAA is shit, dude. Nobody, like, nobody's expecting much from them. They're just going to wait till an indie...
Except for everybody is. Well, the majority of the money-spending community is...
So, like, parents buying games for their kids on Christmas.
Or... them telling, but the kids have to tell their parents what to buy.
Yeah, kids are stupid.
So that's basically what I'm talking about. That's really where it started.
Yeah,
no, PC, like, we are the breeding ground of ideas for sure in gaming, and I love that part of PC gaming. It's my favorite part, probably. Now it used to be modding, but now it's definitely the indies taking chances so that I was going to say for the AAAs don't have to, but I do think that the AAA market is reeling from this games as a service and going back to
PUBG wasn't a AAA game. Battle Royale wasn't a AAA idea.
It started on PC.
Yeah. So.
And what, like, I think the generation growing up too is playing a lot of Minecraft and a lot of Roblox, and everything I see when I see them playing that is a bunch of custom content. They're making their own games within the game, you know? They're still being creative and stuff. And then all these indie games taking chances. I don't know. I can't really... I guess if we're only talking about AAA games. But then there's, I don't know. There's your Anthems. Where was your Anthem 10 years ago? You know, when...
That's just Borderlands Online, basically.
Right, but they're still... I guess they're innovating, just not in a completely new direction.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know what I was really trying to say, I guess. But we talked a little bit and we said some words. What are you guys playing next week? I'm definitely going to be playing Binding of Isaac. I want to play that new, was it Battle by Fire or something like that?
Trial by Fire? I'm going to see if all my cars are still in my parents' garage, and I'm going to smash them against each other on their kitchen floor.
Repeatedly.
God, that sounds so fun. What,
dude,
a carefree.
That's the new big thing, dude. AAA needs to get on that, right?
Smashing cars together. The reason I brought that whole thing, or no, I did bring up Hot Wheels. Did you guys see that Hot Wheels game?
No.
We'll talk about it next week. It's on the radar.
Okay. But next week, I don't know, man. I really don't think I'm going to have a lot of time, but I am going to try to play something. I had something in mind, and I can't remember what it was. I saw something on Steam. Maybe it was one of the games I talked about. Now, I don't know. We'll see. Wherever the wind takes me.
I'm going to play more Zero Hour, and then after this, hopefully I'm going to play some Totally Accurate Battle Simulator.
Yeah, dude, I'm super down.
That was free on Epic, by the way.
Nobody cares.
Hey!
Speaking for Bobby, Chris and myself, Totally Accurate Titties. Gotta pee so bad.
Fuck, I never did my Jeremy bit. Fuck. I had it all planned out. I had the accent and everything.
Oh, God, an accent?
Yeah, he was going to be a surfer dude.